During the last little while, I've been sharing with you about the Word of God, the importance of the Word, how through the Word we partner with God. And today I want to explore just a little bit from a different angle that particular subject. Firstly, one of the things that we need to truly consider as believers is the reality of the fact that we live our lives by the Word of God, not by the philosophies of man, the tenets of man, but by the Word of God. You know, we can every week maybe do a teaching on how to run a successful business, how to have a happy home, how to raise happy children, goal-getting people, and on and on and on and on. And that will all be excellent. That'll be good. But ultimately, it's like this. It's like having a flathead screwdriver. The first time you had the screwdriver, used it to tighten a nut or a screw on your door, and you thought that's the only thing that screwdriver could do, fix doors. And you had a frying pan or pot that had a handle, but it had a screw, a flathead screw on there, and the handle is loose, but you don't have the application of the fact that that screwdriver, that flathead, can also fix this. The Word of God fixes everything when you understand what the Word of God does. Amen? So, even if we don't come day after day and talk to you about this particular issue or that particular issue or that particular issue or that particular issue, just having the Word of God and having an understanding of the Word of God, when you apply it, you'll deal with that, because as we are gathered here, we have all kinds of stuff going on. But an understanding of the Word of God will help you as an individual to address your particular situation. Because your problem may be different from mine, and mine from yours. But there's one word that can deal with every issue, no matter what the issue is. Amen? Hallelujah? Do you get that? So when we come, we want to have an understanding of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? And how can I effectively use it to address the daily issues that I deal with, whether it's in my business or in my home, at my school? How can I use it as a politician to address the issues I need to deal with? Because it really doesn't matter what you do in life. Somebody's going to have an alternative idea and think differently. And so you've got to have a place that you anchor your whole life to. Your true north. Amen? Your true north. That's it. Because if you don't have that, in the age and time that we live in, you're going to be blowing in the wind. You need to know the Word of God. And like I said some time back, hold this thing dearly. It's not just a bunch of words. You live by this. Amen? You need to know it. You need to understand it. You need to apply it. What was the last word I used? Apply. Okay, you are listening. Apply. Someone say apply. Use it. Use it. Someone say use it. You need to use it. You don't use the word of God, you're going to have a useless life. Make sense? Is that strict talk enough? You don't use the word of God? Useless life. Let me start out this morning by taking us to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. There's so much I want to share with you today. Genesis 15 and verse 1. The word of God says, after these things, the word of the Lord came. Someone say, the word of the Lord came. Came unto Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, the word said something. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, that same word is the same word that comes to you and I, and God is still saying the same thing. I am thy what? Shield and thy exceeding great reward. Not thy great reward, thy exceeding great reward. Somebody say exceeding. So that is, the reward is great, but it's an exceeding great reward. Now, hear this. Exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. Exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy what? Exceeding great reward. I am thy what? Exceeding great reward. What's God saying? That he is more, watch this, if you did not consider it, that he is more than any reward that you will ever have. In other words, God is enough. Amen? No matter what you are expecting as a reward, get God, because he is the one who exceeds it all. You must have God. But what is this God that we're talking about? We're talking about the one who is the Word. The greatest thing that you need. I didn't coin this word, but a great man of God, I heard it from a great man of God many years ago. One word from God can change your life forever. One word. What you and I need is that one word. That the word of God comes to you and he affirms you and propels you into a destiny that cannot be formed by the wisdom of man, but by the wisdom of God. great, exceeding, great, exceeding, great, exceeding, great reward. Exceeding. God is the one who exceeds all things in your life. Yes, it is an exceeding great reward, that the reward is so great. But God is saying more than so great reward. He's saying, I am the one who exceeds. No matter how great the reward, I exceed it all. That means, therefore, child of God, that your greatest desire must not be that your need be met. Because you can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. But you cannot lose your soul if you are one with God. Because God can never be lost. Amen? So the greatest thing that you and I need is I have God. I have God and God has me. Say that with me. I have God and God has me. I have God and God has me. I have God and God has me. Child of God, that is the most important thing that you should pursue after. That you are one with God. And wherever God is, God rules. Amen? Say it with me, wherever God is, God rules. Wherever God rules, God reigns over. He is not going to be less than anything because he is the exceeding. Hello? No matter how big the mountain, God exceeds it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No matter how low the valley, God goes beneath that and raises you up. No matter how wide your problem is, God still exceeds it. He encompasses all things in his word. And that means, child of God, that you cannot be limited by anything. It's a lie when the devil tells you, you have been overcome. It's a lie. Do you understand? It's a lie. When the enemy says to you, this problem is bigger than you, it's a what? Lie. It's a lie. You say, how do you know? Because I've been through many problems. Too many to count. And every time I thought that this one is too big, God was bigger yet. It's just the way it is. You know what kind of a life that gives you? A life that is worry-free. You don't have to worry. Amen? Now, come with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to explore some things with you this morning and think I'll wrap it up this evening because there's no way I'm going to get through all of this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm just going to take it from the very beginning. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord God swore unto your fathers. All the commandments I give to you. Now, let me make a statement here. A lot of the scriptures I'm going to be reading from are from the Old Testament. Now, I know that we are not living under the sphere of the law, but under grace. Okay? Let's have that settled. There are two different things. Law and grace are two different things. Law is limiting. Grace gives you the grace to overcome everything. It's the exceeding. Are you with me? Okay. Now, But while we're reading all of this, I want you to bear in mind that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Now, whatever it is that he said about the law, he's not really casting the law off, but he's giving us a new frame of mind, a new way of thinking that encompasses and removes the authority and the power of the law over our lives and grants us grace to overcome whatever it is, so that we are not living by the law, we are living above the law, but while above the law, we're still within the law. You get what I'm saying. We'll come, okay? Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to what? Humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Verse 3. That's where I really want to start. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. He fed thee with what? Manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. Man does not live by bread only. Man does not live by bread only. He fed you with manna so that you may know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We read that and we miss the point. Jesus said in John that that manna was bread. It isn't anybody else but my Father that gave you the bread, the manna. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He allowed you to be hungry and then fed you with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. He allowed you to go through whatever it is that you went through, that you may know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Well, you just gave me bread, manna. What do you mean? You did this, so I know that I should live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Isn't it the same thing? And that is the exceeding great reward. Because you see, yes, it is bread. This is the miracle. But really, what brought about this is that I brought it to pass. And your focus should not be on the blessing, but on the blesser. Are you with me? What you and I need is not the blessing. Please hear me. What you and I need is not the blessing. The blessing comes. What you need is the blesser. That you are one with the blesser. The blesser being the one who has the ability to provide anything you will ever need. Because if I give you things, you may run out of things. But if you have the one who produces the things, you will never run out. A lot of people are running after the blessing. God bless me with this. God bless. I'm going to tithe because I want the blessing. No, I'm not going to tithe because I want the blessing. I want to be connected with the one who blesses. So I tithe because I want to keep on staying in good connection with the blesser. Amen. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be connected with the blesser. Blessing comes and goes. Huh? It comes and goes. The blesser, he says, I will abide with you forever. I want him. What do you want? Just want the blessing? You can have all the blessing you want. There's a difference between giving a man a fish and teaching a man how to fish. It's two different things. Hello? Okay. So, we want the blesser. Do you? Praise God. Then we're talking the same language. Now, let me keep on reading. Because, you see, when you start reading, you and I think the issue is the commandment. It is not. It has never been the commandment. It is the one who helps you to keep the commandments. That's the one you want to be connected with. So let me just jump ahead for a moment. I'm going to come back to verse 3 and 4. But go to verse 14. Go to verse 14 and hear this. Deuteronomy 8:14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget whom? The Lord thy God. He didn't say forget the commandment. He said you forget the Lord thy God who brought you out. Look at verse 16. And see the point. And I'm going to go back and read through and come back. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy what? Latter end. Who fed thee with manna in the wilderness? God did. And your fathers didn't know what this was, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, why? To do thee good at that latter end. So whatever it is that I allow you to go through right now, there is a purpose behind it. Are you with me? God is not doing anything in your life without a purpose. Even during the difficult times. And that's why it is so crucial that if you are not connected to the blesser and you're just looking at the blessing, then when the blessing is scarce, you forget about God, the blesser. God wants you to go past the blessing to connecting with him. How many of you would like to be married with somebody who just wants to be married with you or to you because you have money and you have good looks and don't really care about you? They just care about the money, what you can provide them, and the fact that you look good. What if you, at a particular time, don't look good as you used to anymore, or you don't have the money as you used to anymore? Will you say that was love? So love should be, in spite of what you have or don't have, I love you. Do you think God wants the same thing in our relationship with him? That we just, I love you, God, period. I just love you. Yeah, it helps if the money is there and if the good looks is there. Because nobody wants to be married to an ugly whatever. Hello? That makes sense? True? Can we be real for a moment? But really, what we want is that I am loved in spite of whatever. I'm just loved, period. And the other stuff is just added stuff. That's what I want. Is that what you want? Just to be loved? To be loved because you have this, you have that? Is that what you want? I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth that wants that. People just want to be loved, period. Where did we get that idea from? We got it from a God who wants to be loved, period. Because the God who wants to be loved, period, loved us, period, in spite of whatever it is that we had to offer. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. Did he not? Yes. Amen? Okay, let's go back to verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. That man. So it is something that God makes us know. It's not automatic that we come to the realization that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, where do we read this particular scripture again?
Matthew 4:4.
Matthew. What is happening? Where is Jesus? He's in the wilderness. Led there by whom? By the Spirit of God. Did he just get baptized? Did God just say to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? And now he goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil says, if you be the Son of God, if you really have this relationship with God and God really loves you, why don't you turn stones and make it bread? God loves you, right? Yeah. He's pleased with you, yeah? And you're the Son of God, right? Yeah. Yeah. Turn the stone and make it bread. In other words, live for the blessing. Live for your tummy to be filled. Oh, God says, no, I made you hungry. Did we just read that? He said, I deliberately made you hungry. So you mean I can go through a rough time because God has a plan and a purpose? Absolutely. To get you to the point where your relationship is not based on, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. He says, no, 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 no. You got to go past, I got this, I got that. Because if you just live for things, then you're going to be controlled by those things. But if you allow yourself to be connected to God, then you get controlled by God. He said, I humbled thee. In other words, when you're living for things, you are proud. You're a proud fool. When you're living for things. And guess what? A lot of decisions that we make in life is based on how I can get stuff. How I can be more comfortable. What if? What if? What if? You're in a state where you're hungry. And somebody comes to you and says, listen, you don't have to be hungry. You really don't. Why are you staying hungry? Go take the mark. It's just a mark, just a chip right here, right there. You can eat all the food you want. Come on. What are you doing? You just take the mic. You have children. Don't you have children? You want these children to be hungry? You selfish, whatever. What are you going to do then? Well, I don't have to worship the Antichrist, right? I don't have to bow down to him, right? You don't have to do nothing. Just stick the mark. Okay. Now, did the Bible tell you that the issue was about bowing down to the Antichrist or about you taking the mark? That's the problem. And what is really the problem with taking the mark? The problem with taking the mark is that you're living for convenience. You're living to save yourself. I'm not trusting God to save you. Oh, you mean if I accept that reality, I won't die? God is going to supernaturally provide food for me? He may and he may not. It's not the point. Someone listening? Amen. That's not the point, whether God provided you with food or did not. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody listening? What I'm talking about right now may seem far-fetched, but I'm talking serious stuff. Don't wait until some guy shows up and says, I'm the Antichrist. You think somebody's going to show up and say, I'm the Antichrist? No, you got to have a relationship with God. Bottom line, if you don't have that relationship with God and trust God implicitly, completely, you will, without fail, deny the Lord. And every day, God is giving you and I an opportunity to make the decision to follow God and not follow our natural senses and what makes us feel good. You know, one of the things that the enemy is trying to make certain that we all in our mind, in our thinking, get tweaked to is this whole issue of what feels good. And I'm trying to say to us this morning, feeling good is not all it's hyped up to be. There are times that you're going to go through rough times. And your relationship with God must not be based on just the good times. If your relationship is just based on the good times, you're in serious trouble, man. You really are in serious trouble. Because you gotta have a relationship with God outside of the parameters of what feels good, looks good, smells good, or whatever. And just say, God, you are God alone in my life. In good times, in bad times, no matter what is happening, God, you and you alone are God. I surrender my life to you. I trust that you're thinking about what I'm talking about right now, because I don't think that we have a long stretch of time before you face that particular issue. I don't know how many years is left before a government comes up and says, you know what? If you give to a church, you are not going to have a tax receipt at the end of the year and be allowed to deduct that amount. Somebody listening? I don't know if we have another 10 years before it happens. Now, what happens then to your giving? Do you believe in giving to God? And God is going to meet my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Or do you believe in whatever percentage the tax man is going to give back to you and you get a return of $500 or $1,000 or $10,000? Hooray! Wonderful. How many hamburgers are you going to eat? This is the reality. You don't give because of what you think you're going to get when you understand that you have one who is an exceeding great. Hallelujah. So the word of God has to take full precedence in your life. Watch this. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Thy raiment, he said, thy raiment wax not old upon thee. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Your clothes didn't wear out, and your shoes didn't wear out. That's what you want, right? You want to have nice clothes and shoes. Yeah. Can God provide? Yeah. Can God sustain whatever it is that he's giving to you already? Yeah. Wait a minute. If their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out, did we read somewhere about somebody's bread and oil not running out? That has happened? It's in the Bible? So do you think if you had your freezer full, that you can keep on going to that same freezer and getting stuff out of there, and God keeps on filling it up without taking the mark of the beast? I've already lived that. And since that time till now, I don't have empty freezers. I think God is still doing the same miracle. I don't know how many times I've emptied my freezer. And while I'm emptying it, it's filling up. How do you think Mom and I, without wages for so many years, kept on living? How do you think? Is God still God? Or he's a man that lies? No. He's not a man that lies. He's faithful. And he wants us to go through different experiences so that he can show himself strong. So while we spend our time complaining about the bad times, we should celebrate. Count it all joy. Is that what it says? It does. It really says that in the Bible? It really says count it all joy when you're going through diverse trials and temptations? It says that? Count it all joy. Wow. There must be a misprint. Something's wrong. Somebody was drinking some whiskey or something. To write that, put something like that in the Bible. Count it all joy. What do you mean, count it all joy when you're going through? I should be crying. I should be mourning. I should be complaining. I should be pointing fingers. It's your fault. And God says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Huh? Your raiment wax not old upon thee. Your clothes looks current. Wow. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Huh? Wait a minute. God chastens us? Yes, yeah, it's if I love you, I will chasten you. I'll rebuke you. I'll give you some whooping sometime. God, no. You know, you love me, and so you give me a pass every time. It's pass. I just pass. It passed you from grade 1 to grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, grade 6. You didn't learn anything in grade 1. Now you're in grade 6. You can't read. But you're in grade 6. They're going to graduate you. And then you go to junior high and come through senior high. Oh, Johnny is such a nice young man. His smile is so good. He's so friendly. But you can't read. Somebody's been passing you. Just keep moving. No, God says, I'll chasten you if I love you. I'll straighten you out. I'll tell you, you flunked that class. You're repeating. No, God won't do that. Yes, he will. What kind of lousy God do we think we serve him? God will keep you in a class until you pass. There are some vital lessons that you have to go through before you go to the next level. It's just the way it is. He chastens us. Look at the next verse. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths and springs of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. Watch that. Let me stop there. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord. God knows about that too. That we are up to blessing him when we get blessed. And he's not saying that's not good. He's saying that is good. You have to be thankful, then God brings more increase into your life. And watch this. Beware that thou forget not the what? The Lord thy God. In not keeping his commandments. He says, that's how you forget the Lord your God. In not keeping his commandments. And his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand had gotten me this wealth. Why do you come to that point? You forgot the Lord your God. Listen. I'm going to wrap up for now. I'm going to continue. But listen to this. The worst mistake you and I can make is to depend on our abilities. Because when you depend on your ability, you are apt to begin to think that you are the one making things happen. And if you keep on that pathway, God will let you. And just as quickly as He lets go of you, you will find out that if it were not for God's grace, you will not have been where you are now. That's pride. That is pride. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. Get away from that thinking. Just resign yourself to this reality. God makes me possible. Whatever it is I have accomplished, it is by the grace of God. And whatever it is that's happening in my life today, it is by the grace of God. I think you might have missed the last statement I made. Whatever it is that is happening in my life today, it is by the grace of God. I think you still didn't get it. Whatever it is that's happening in my life today, it is by the grace of God. I didn't say, whatever good thing is happening in my life today. I didn't say that. That means whatever good thing, whatever bad thing, whatever ugly thing, it is by the grace of God. God knew about it. And God knows how to work out the details on this particular situation. I am not going to spend my time worrying about this, because that's not what God has called me to do. God's word says I should love Him. God's word says I should seek Him. God's word says I should pant after Him. God's word says I should thirst after righteousness. God says a lot of things, but He did not tell me to worry. He did not tell me to be afraid of what man is going to do to me. Never told me to do any of that. Instead, He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I have that guarantee that no matter what is going on, God is my Savior. Now let me ask you a question. Where did God save Daniel? Outside the lion's den or inside the lion's den? Why did he have to wait? Where did God save the three Hebrew young men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Outside the fire furnace? Inside. He saved them when the fiery furnace was just so hot. Or did it get hotter? Hotter. Hey, God, what are you doing? Don't let them heat up the flames. Hotter means it's worse. And God says, exceeding great reward. I exceed. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Everything can change in your life like that. But the one thing that you must know is that you have God. That's it. Do you understand? I have God. What else do you have? Nothing else, but I have God. I have God. I don't know what happened. Everything just went haywire, but I have God. I thank God I have God. God, I thank you that I have you. You and I need to settle that. I'm not saying that what I'm talking to you about right now is easy. All I'm saying is this, that when you have God, you've got everything you need. Everything you need. When you have God, you've got everything you need. Because this is a God who brings water out of rocks. Yeah? Feeds the multitude with just a handful of loaves and fishes. Makes rain pour if he wants it. When he doesn't want it, no rain. He's okay no matter what. And if you are with him, he is your shield and your buckler. So, you mean bad things can happen to somebody that is good? Absolutely. And may I say this to you? Keep your mouth shut when you don't understand what's happening in people's lives. Just shut up. Because you have no clue. Oh, if only they fasted more, maybe this would not. Shh. You don't know what's going on. You really don't. Before you start shooting your mouth off, I'm thinking, well, the only reason this bad thing happened to such and such a person is because they're not fasting enough, praying enough, they don't have the word of God enough, they don't this and they don't that. Don't find out when that same storm hits your house. And let us find out whether you knew God or didn't know God. Just keep your mouth shut. They stand or they fall before their own father. And he says, I humbled thee. I humbled you. I brought you low so I can do something at your latter end. Bottom line is this, he who laughs last, laughs best. If they have God. And that's all you need. Do you capish with me? I wasn't really preaching or anything today. Just having a simple discussion with you. What do you need to have?
God.
A nice car.
God.
Nice clothes. Nice shoes. Nice watch. A nice, beautiful wife. Handsome husband. Amazing kids. All of those things. That's what you really need to have to make it in life. But if you have the worst kids and the most rotten car, and you make it to heaven, do you think you're okay? Rather than having all the nice cars, everything nice, wonderful, and you die, and he says, get away from me, I never knew you. What would you rather have? Tell you what, eternity is too long to be in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Amen? So, our pursuit, just God, does it. That's all I have to say to you today. I could go further, but I'm going to stop here. And we're going to continue later. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I know you're speaking to us. You're reminding us about what's really important. What's really, really important. What's really important is not the blessings that we'll pursue and run after, the convenience that we try to get, trying to be like the Joneses and whoever else. But really, that what really matters is that we have you. We know that sorrow and defeat is not what you have for us. A good God does better than natural man. If we ask for bread, you don't give us stone. If we ask for fish, you don't give us, you know, scorpions and serpents and all those crazy stuff. You want the best for us. But you want us to come to the place where we are definitely clear about this reality, that it is you that we want more than things. And so, Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you settle that issue with us, and that we settle that issue with you. Not because we go through it, but because, oh God, God who knows our heart, when you hear and you see the clarity and the purity of our hearts. For the purity that we have is founded in the very person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's gone through all of this suffering so that we don't go through it. But Lord, oh God, if you allow us to go through difficult moments, this must be certain and clear, that more than things, we want you. We want you. We're not saying, though, like that old song, take the whole world and give me Jesus. No. Because the world cannot give us Jesus. And you have already given us the world. It is ours. But Lord, oh God, we are surrendered to this reality that the world does not have us. Things don't own us, don't control our decisions. God, you do. That means you can ask me for whatever it is you want. You can ask me for my house, you can ask me for my car, you can ask me for my clothes, you can ask me for whatever it is that you want to ask for. And I can be surrendered to the fact that if you want it, you can have it. And recognize that you are well able to do exceedingly far beyond anything I dare ask or think. Help us, individually and corporately, to be a people that are surrendered to doing your will. For your will is always the right thing. And I pronounce your blessings upon everyone in this household of faith, that you raise us up by your Spirit and establish us by your authority. So, Lord, oh God, that through us, in us, by us, your will is being done here in the earth as it is in heaven. For we live not by bread alone. We live by the word of God, who's loved us and given himself for us. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.